Greetings and God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. My name is Judy Ransom and I am so privileged to be able to share God's word with you. I'd like to ask you to have a pen and paper ready so we can do an exercise later, which I believe will bless you tremendously. And I'd like to pray. Lord, as we come to you and look into your word this morning, we thank you for teaching each one of us, for opening our hearts to receive what you have especially for us. Thank you, Lord. You're so good. We praise you. Amen. So what I'd like to share with you this morning is sweet meditation with him. Throughout the scriptures, we can see meditation, especially in the Psalms. Like in Psalm 104:34, it says, "My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord." And I met Peg over a year ago now, and I asked her to teach me how to meditate, biblical meditation. And since then, since doing it and learning more and more about it, I've been a lot more blessed, a lot less stressed, and feeling a lot closer to God. I've been reading about it and learning, and I learned, you know, we can even have dreams, godly dreams. And so I asked, Lord, would you give me a dream? And recently I was having a dream that wasn't too pleasant. And then the Lord Jesus came into it and delivered me and protected me. And we gazed into each other's eyes and it was so sweet. There's so much the Lord has for us. It's exciting. And that's just a little of what I've been learning along with meditation, but I've received healing. I'm believing more and more what God says about me and caring less and less what others think about me. And I have a lot more peace. Now, it has been a journey for me. You can always learn more. Yeah, this learning about meditation, I would start doing it and go, oh, this isn't working. I'm not getting anything out of it. And I'd stop and I'd get discouraged. And then I'd talk to Peg and hear what she was getting out of meditation, hearing from God and seeing. And then I'd be encouraged and I'd get right back on. And that's how iron sharpens iron. We help each other. We encourage one another. I sure am thankful for all of you. And so Peg recommended I go to one of the resources listed in the back of her book, I Saw the Light, But He Saw Me First. And the resource is Mark Verkler's book, How to Hear God's Voice. So I read it and have been learning a lot from his ministry. And I've learned more and more about how to hear from God through journaling in my times of meditation. Well, I thought I'd share with you what the Lord spoke to me this morning, just to give you an idea what I'm talking about. And he was teaching me about the fruit of the Spirit. First, I pictured him, and he took my hands, and we started twirling. It was great. And then he spoke, "Yes, my love, joy, and peace are ever toward you and within you, filling you with my presence. Long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness are how I shine forth from your life to others. Faith, meekness, and temperance are what you give back to me in worship, how you stay in my presence in love, joy, and peace. You are complete in me. Tell others how I long to dwell richly within my church, my sanctified ones. You are sanctified in and through my shed blood. I have made you holy. There is no shame in me, no fear, no disappointment, no longing from lack. For I am your sufficiency in all things. We are one. You are being conformed into my image, so the Father may be glorified in you, in me. I am able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. So stretch your imagination. See yourself in my word, doing what I did, and more. Stretch yourself. Ask. I will give you unlimited flowing water from the fountain of life. There are no limits. ask, and I will fill you to overflowing. I will do more than you ask. I will withhold none of my good pleasure from you. I want others to taste of the fruit within you, so our Father may be glorified. You are my beloved. I cherish you. I fill you up to overflowing. Look and see. I will enlighten the eyes of your understanding. I will show you the hope before you. Walk with me. Take my hand. I will never let go. It is doubts, worries, and fears that cause you to let go of my hand and to take your eyes off me. Cling to me as I cling to you. I will show you the Father's great love and tenderness toward you. This brings me to tears just reading it. Tears of joy. I hope that ministered to you too. And who can't use a little of that? It's so wonderful, these times of meditation, the Lord speaking. And I've got a whole book of this stuff, just things written out in journaling while meditating. It's a treasure trove of the Lord's rhema to me. And I've recently been thinking a lot about this great truth in the Lord's Prayer. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." And we are to look as God as the provider of our physical needs, but there's also a deeper spiritual truth here that Jesus was communicating. In Matthew 4, when he was being tempted in the wilderness, he told the devil, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." That's in Matthew 4:4. And every word in that verse is the Greek word rhema, which means the spoken word. See, mankind was created by God to live not only by food, but by every word that he speaks. He passionately desires to commune with his people in sweet fellowship. And when Jesus told the devil that man shall live by every spoken word from the mouth of God, he was quoting what Moses told the Israelites in Deuteronomy 8 in verse 3. And I'll read it to you. Moses said, "He, God, humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God, the Lord." In other words, Moses was telling them that when they got good and hungry, God did something new for them, which no one ever saw before. He fed them with manna. Why? To teach them that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Look at the lessons that we too can learn from this manna. The Israelites needed to gather manna every day. If they gathered more than they needed for the day, it would be rotten by the next morning, unless it was on the night before the Sabbath. And they needed to go out again each morning and get freshly fallen manna from heaven. And just as the Israelites needed to gather manna every morning, God wants his people to know that in order to live, not only survive, but thrive, they need to hear from him every day. And I'd like you to look at John chapter 6. Now, if Jesus taught us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," and we are to live not by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God, then we need to quietly seek him every day and learn how to hear his voice. In John chapter 6, beginning in verse 32, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is," here it is, "he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Then they said unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst." And this is talking about spiritual hunger and spiritual thirst for the things of God. Our Heavenly Father has given us the true bread from heaven, the bread of life, His dear Son. And we can receive the rhema, the daily bread, every day. In John 16, Jesus told his disciples, I have yet many things to say unto you. This is in verse 12, John 16, 12 through 14. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. And then in verse 14, he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. And this is as true today as it was when Jesus spoke it to his disciples. I have yet many things to say to you. And now that the Holy Spirit is here, we can bear them now. This is wonderful. Jesus also said in John 6:63, the words, the rhema that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The rhema, the words from the Lord Jesus, are spirit because he only speaks that which comes from his Father, the Holy Spirit. And these words are life because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And it took me many years to learn this, that truth isn't a thing. It's not a concept. It's not an intellectual exercise. It's a person, and his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Now in 1 John 1:3, many of you are familiar with what it says, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, we know what it's like to enjoy great fellowship with each other. It's not just a one-way conversation with us doing all the talking. It's communion with one another. We laugh, we have fun together, and sometimes we cry and empathize with one another. It's a lot more than the small chit-chat that acquaintances have with each other. It's richness of fellowship with dear friends. You know, when God put Adam and Eve in the garden, he enjoyed unhindered fellowship with them. They walked and talked with God. But when they disobeyed, things changed. From then on, God's Holy Spirit was only upon certain individuals who, throughout the Old Testament, who would hear his voice and then write it down or speak it to others. But after Jesus gave his life for us and ascended to the Father, the Holy Spirit was poured out to all who would believe on Christ. God could finally, again, walk and talk with each of his people and enjoy fellowship with them. Hooray! Hallelujah! Yay, God! This is what God has waited for so long. And I'd like you to go now to Acts chapter 10. And we can find meditation in many places in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, we can also see instances of God's people seeking their daily bread. And in Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse 9, it's talking about Peter. On the morrow, as they went on their journey, these are the people coming from Cornelius, going to Peter's house, and they drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. Now, I always thought that a trance was like being in a zombie state, but here was Peter praying on the rooftop. First of all, he took the time to go out to get alone and get quiet with God so he could pray and have this quiet time. And while he was there, he fell into a trance. But this word trance is the Greek word ecstasis, from which we get the word ecstasy. It's also translated in the New Testament as amazement or astonishment when people saw a miracle of God. In this state of amazement, all other mundane thoughts left their minds as they were filled, their minds and hearts were filled with awe and wonder at God's power and goodness, that astonishment, that amazement. And so Peter, as well as many others in the Eastern culture, had trained his mind to let go of mundane worldly thoughts and to fill his mind with the things of God so he could receive his daily bread from heaven. Now in Acts 10 verse 11, and Peter saw heaven opened. He had a vision, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth. Now if Peter never went up to the rooftop, a quiet place where he could be alone with God and pray, would he have received this vision? Well, I'm not going to speculate, but we put ourselves in a position, as he did, to receive from God when we purposely and intentionally block out this time for God. After all, he's our creator. Let's give him a few minutes each day. Okay, so verse 12. And in this great sheet in his vision were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." Now, you know, my idea of a trance used to be that, you know, you weren't in control, you were being taken over like a zombie. But here, Peter was talking in the middle of a vision. He spoke to the Lord. And then the voice spoke unto him again the second time, verse 15, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." See, now that's the kind of communion and fellowship God wants to have with his kids, to see us in a ready state of mind to hear from him and to converse with him. Peter even argued with God, and I would venture to say that Peter made it a regular practice to meditate with God, and they were in pretty good talking terms, just talking it out, hashing it out with the Lord. And I've been seeing that the people of God in the Bible knew how to practice meditation. And I believe Christ's church is just beginning to regain this practice of seeking their daily bread from heaven. Great things are happening in Christ's church. Now let's look at Acts chapter 22, and we'll see what Paul did. The Jews from Asia saw Paul in the temple when he went to Jerusalem, and they stirred up the people to kill him. And then the Roman soldiers came, the chief captain rescued Paul and let him speak to the people, and Paul gave his testimony. And down in Acts 22, down in verse 17, "And it came to pass that when I was come again," he's giving his testimony, Paul, "and it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance." And here again is that word, ecstasis. Paul was in prayer and he let go of all worldly thoughts, becoming filled with an amazement of God. In verse 18, "and saw him saying unto me." Now, Paul saw the Lord Jesus talking to him. You see, the Lord wants to talk with us and wants to show us visions more than we can even ask or think. So in verse 18, Paul saw the Lord speaking to him, and he said, "Make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me." And I said, here's Paul talking in the middle of a vision. He was in control. "Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles." Again, just like with Peter, we see Paul talking things out with the Lord, giving his argument, and then listening. And these records with Peter and Paul show us that the Lord will speak to his people and give them visions if we just take the time to be quiet and meditate on him, his word, and all his wondrous works in our lives, expecting to receive our daily bread, his rhema. A little more about my journey in learning meditation. After I read Mark Verkler's book, How to Hear God's Voice, I read it because Peg said it changed my life. I learned how to really hear the voice of God. And I started watching YouTube videos of Mark Verkler teaching the four keys to hearing God's voice. And then I ordered that class, Four Keys to Hearing God's Voice, and I got it on his website, Communion with God Ministries. And for anyone wanting to learn more about meditation and hearing from God, I recommend this resource. And as with anything, prove all things, hold fast that which is true. Now, in a few minutes, I'd like to lead you in a meditation exercise if you'd like to participate, and we're going to write down what God tells us. And this kind of listening and journaling is what Peg calls training wheels. And even if it's training wheels, I'm glad to start somewhere. How about you? But first, we need to clear our minds of all the woo-woo stuff we've heard about meditation. I know I have wrestled with this. Unfortunately, in the early centuries after Christ's ascension, religion really messed up God's people and eventually hid the written word from the common people for centuries. Meanwhile, religions like Hinduism and Buddhism rose up and taught and practiced meditation, but they didn't lead people to Christ or our Heavenly Father. In the late 1960s, when I was a kid, transcendental meditation swept through the Western world when the wildly popular Beatles went to India to meet their guru, the Maharishi. So everyone joined on the bandwagon, and now millions of people in the West practice transcendental meditation, but it doesn't lead people to Christ or the Father. See, they try to empty their minds in meditation. But science teaches us that when you attempt to create a vacuum, something will always try to rush in to fill the void. And does that sound familiar? What did Jesus say happens when a person's mind is swept clean and empty? I'll let you look up that one. We as God's people not only clear our minds of worldly thoughts, we fill our minds with the things of God. We prepare our minds to receive our daily bread, the rhema. And I've been hearing and reading a lot more about biblical meditation lately in the church. I'm a copy editor for a local Christian magazine, and my editor practices biblical meditation. And I'm also, every month I participate in a Christian writer's critique group. I just found out last time I was there that the leader of the group practices biblical meditation. And it's very heartening to see the Lord teaching his church this. See, God's people need to take back what the adversary has stolen and claimed for his own. For centuries, we've shied away from meditation as a church, afraid of practicing the occult. We need to reclaim that which God originally intended for us. The Lord wants his church to hear from him, to receive their daily bread so they can have life and have it more abundantly. When I started learning about godly biblical meditation, I wanted to go to God's word to make sure I wasn't doing anything woo-woo. I found it comforting to discover that meditation didn't start with the Maharishi or Buddha or Hinduism or any other Eastern religion. It's interesting that this counterfeit meditation started in the East, where the people of the Bible used to live. And if you look at the counterfeit, you can usually trace it back to its genuine origin. See, originally, meditation was God's idea to communicate with his people as they stayed their minds on him. In Genesis 24:63, first book of the Bible. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. Now, where do you think Isaac learned how to meditate? Obviously, from his father Abraham, who was called the friend of God. Gee, I wonder why. All those times when God took Abraham for a walk and showed him the stars of heaven and spoke with him, it was all because Abraham was taking the time to get quiet so he could commune with God, his friend. And you know, the Lord Jesus calls us his friends. He doesn't want to just be an acquaintance with us. He wants to have a loving, trusting, open communication, genuine friendship with us. While I was sharing with someone recently about meditation and listening to God through journaling, they asked, "Why write it down? Where is that in the Bible? Can it lead people into spiritualism?" Now, these are all legitimate questions and concerns. To the first question, why write it down, I would say, well, God waited for thousands of years to send his Son, to pour out his Holy Spirit, and to be able to have fellowship with his sons and daughters, where he could talk with each one of us. Why wouldn't you want to write it down? The next question, where is that in the Bible? In Psalm 32, we can find one of many examples in the scriptures. In Psalm 32, verse 7, David wrote down some words of praise. "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah." In verse 8, God said, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." Pretty straightforward. And to the question, can it lead people into spiritualism? Whenever people elevate their personal experience above the Word of God, they fall prey to spiritualism. In effect, they are saying, my personal experience is correct and the Bible is wrong. It is so important to remember that God will never tell you anything that isn't in harmony with His Word, that contradicts His Word. Now, Mark Verkler strongly recommends that you have three spiritual advisors, people you trust with the Word of God, that you can submit your early journaling to for confirmation of whether or not it is from God. And you will also want to send them in entries regarding major life decisions. And Mark also shares the four keys to hearing God's voice, the Rhema. 1, quiet yourself down. 2, fix your eyes on the Lord Jesus, the living bread of life. 3, tune to spontaneity. In other words, recognize God's voice as spontaneous thoughts which light upon your mind. And 4, write it down. So very simply, 1, quiet yourself down. 2, fix your eyes on the Lord Jesus. 3, tune to spontaneity. And 4, write it down. So would you like to take a few minutes now to get quiet, to meditate, and listen to God? If so, get out your pen and paper and get comfortable. You can be sitting in your chair and sit up straight so you can breathe nice and deeply. Close your eyes and don't think about what other people are thinking. Just close your eyes. Let go of any stress in your body. Relax your jaw, your neck and shoulders. That's where I get tension. And just get quiet with God. Breathe in deeply and slowly from your abdomen and then let out all the air slowly. And you know, it's so important to let all the air out when we breathe deeply. Most of us, well, we get stressed out and we start breathing shallow from our chest. But we were made to breathe deeply from the abdomen. And I had a neighbor who unfortunately had COPD and emphysema. And one day he was telling me, "Judy, you know, it's not a problem inhaling. The problem with me is exhaling. I can't get it all out." And I really, that jarred me. You see, when we let all the air out, our diaphragm stretches up into our thoracic cavity, creating an area of low air pressure, and then the air just rushes in to fill that area of lower air pressure. See, breathing in isn't a problem. We need to exhale all the air so we can breathe in deeply. And I'm sorry, I just want to throw that in. I love science. but I just want to share that with you. So you can speak in tongues, think of scripture, be still, and know that I am God. I'm going to count several breaths in and out for you. I usually do 7. And we'll breathe in and then hold it to a count of 7 and then let out. And while you get quiet and speak in tongues or think of a scripture and clear your mind of any worldly thoughts, like if you start thinking, this is weird, this is crazy, remember God's word, for God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And after quieting ourselves with gentle breathing, I found it helpful to start thinking about some of the things I'm thankful for. Psalms 100 says to enter his gates with thanksgiving. So go ahead and write down some of the things you're thankful for. You can do that right now while I'm talking, maybe. but write it to God. Father, I'm so thankful for your goodness to me. And I'll give you a chance right now. Just a few things jot down. And tell him what you're thankful for. Praise God. Okay, and in a few moments, we're going to ask the Lord something simple, nothing earth-shattering, like who should I marry? Should I buy this house? Should I take this job? But just a simple question like, Lord, what do you think about me? And then you're going to write down the words that come to your mind. And I've found it's just like speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues or prophecy. You won't get the second word until you write down the first. And you need to trust God that he is giving you his rhema. He said he would give it. And you're asking, he will. So just start writing the words that come to your mind, trusting the Lord to answer you. You see, if you ask for bread, he won't give you a stone. So let's start with breathing in slowly, with your abdomen expanding on the inhale to a count of 7. But if you get your dizzy while we're doing this, just breathe at your own pace. I don't want anyone passing out. So breathe in 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Now hold your breath for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And exhale slowly. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Blow it all out. And inhale. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Hold, and you can be speaking in tongues. 4, 5, 6, 7. Exhale. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. As your abdomen goes in, inhale. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Hold for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Exhale. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And this is just quieting yourself down. Inhale. Be still and know that I am God. Let your body relax. Hold. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Exhale. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Inhale. Picture yourself walking with the Lord Jesus. Now hold it in. He's smiling, offering you his hand, reaching out to you. And exhale. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Now, receive your daily bread. Continue breathing slowly, relaxed, and ask, Lord, what do you think of me? And now begin writing for the next few minutes. If you ask for bread, he won't give you a stone. Write what comes to your mind, and I'll play some quiet music to journal by, written and performed by Julie True. If you're still writing, you can just finish what you're writing there, that sentence, and open your, well, your eyes are open while you're writing. So, but isn't the Lord good? In his presence is fullness of joy. I hope some of you will want to share what the Lord told you, because it's good to receive a confirmation from other believers that yes, it was the word of the Lord. And I encourage you to continue seeking your daily bread from heaven in quiet meditation. I like to play quiet music while meditating, like we were just listening to. I found that piece by Julie True on Mark Verkler's website, Communion with God Ministries. That's CWGMinistries.org. And it's a free resource. Usually there's a pop-up window that says, do you want this? It's a music to journal by, and it's 30 minutes. I like it because it's timed. I don't have to look at the clock and go, how long have I been here? Sometimes it goes by so fast. And, you know, when I first started meditating, my mind was going all over the place. So if this is new to you, don't be discouraged. Be patient with yourself and try starting with 10 minutes or 15 minutes. But your mind was made to commune with God. you can train your mind to be still and to know God. So I'd like to pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your words to us, your rhema. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, the bread from heaven which you give us each day. Thank you, Lord. May we continue and grow more deeply in our fellowship with you and enjoy these times of sweet meditation with you. We thank you and praise you in your Son's name. Amen. And now I'd like to play a song by Lynn DeShazo, There's a Table.
There's a table in your presence where the weary are restored, where the bread is broken for us and the cup of life is poured. Blood and body given for us, perfect offering for our sin, sacrifice and resurrection, all who die with you shall in your presence where the